Leather, kink, S&M. What does it all mean? Well, today's show, I'm taking you to Leather 101 because IML, the International Mr. Leather Competition, is just 1 week away. I'm sitting down in the Leather Museum and Archives right here in the heart of Chicago in Edgewater, just blocks from my house, sitting down and taking Leather 101. That's right. You got to get prepped for the huge extravaganza that's about to hit Chicago. And also, Stephen Rader with me on the entire show. He's so much fun. We talk about our leather histories, our introduction into leather, and what it all means to us. You got to have a little lube, a little leather, a little latex in your life. And also, Richard Knight Jr. taking us to the movie Iron Man. Well, I bet some of the leather guys are going to like that film. Iron, leather, latex, it's all the same. It's kind of bondage, it's kinky, and it's fun. And that's what this show is all about. Ooh, get on the saddle, guys and gals. We're going to take you into the wild, wild world of leather.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Listen to the Windy City Queercast, show number 209. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Stephen Rader.
Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Ooh. I'm very good. You were just saying we just passed some metrosexuals and you hate them.
I just can't stand. If I ever meet the queer eyes for the straight guys, I'm going to punch them in the neck.
Yeah.
Because there's a very very good looking man, great hair. He has a very nice patterned shirt on. He has, the good shoes, the whole nine yards. And
he's color coordinated.
Straight.
He's straight.
My gaydar is fucked now because of these people, yeah. And I can't tell who's who.
Well, they're not on Bravo anymore, are they?
No.
Because they all had to get individual careers.
I took care of that.
Yeah.
No. But you know what I mean? Like, we're letting out all of our secrets. Hell, Larry Craig told everybody about the foot tapping. What the hell are we going to do now?
Yeah.
There's
nothing that we have that's our own.
No. From now on, when we go to places, we're going to have to, tap our foot and sing Tap Your Troubles Away.
Yeah, it's totally true. Hey, we're coming up to International Mr. Leather IML weekend. Stephen and I are still hanging out in the neighborhood of Lakeview, and we're going to go to the news. We'll be back and tell you more about the International Mr. Leather.
Broadway's Tony-winning smash hit musical Avenue Q is for you.
If you've ever put out the garbage.
If you've ever put out.
If you're in the closet.
If your friend's in the closet.
If your coat's in the closet.
If you're in college.
If you wish you were back in college.
If you're a Democrat.
A Republican.
A Scientologist.
A gynecologist.
If you're a potty mouth.
If you're a potty animal.
If you want a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical with something for everyone.
Avenue Q is for you.
May 27th through June 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Visit broadwayinchicago.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
Michigan's high court ruled 5-2 that the partners of gay and lesbian state workers cannot get health benefits because of the state's 2004 ban against same-sex marriage. Michigan's Supreme Court affirmed a 2007 appeals court ruling that local governments and state universities in Michigan cannot offer health insurance to same-sex partners of employees.
Former Governor James McGreevy and his estranged wife have been spending time behind closed courtroom doors lately for their divorce trial. The two have so far reached a deal on the custody of their six-year-old daughter. The McGreevys still need to discuss settlements on alimony and child support, as well as Dina Matos McGreevy's claim of marriage fraud. The couple broke up in 2004 when the former governor came out of the closet after having had an affair with a man.
She should just change her name. Berlin renamed a portion of the Spree River after a gay rights activist, Magnus Hirschfeld, on May 6th. Hirschfeld, who was a gay rights activist and sexual researcher and was persecuted by the Nazis in the 1930s, founded the first institute dedicated to fighting GLBT discrimination. Nazis burned hundreds of Hirschfeld books. The activist fled to France and died there in 1935.
Malcolm Boyd, the first openly gay Episcopal priest, will be honored by the Lambda Literary Foundation. Boyd has authored 29 books, including his bestseller, Are You Running With Me, Jesus? Boyd, age 85, continues to serve as a priest. He came out 35 years before the election of openly gay bishop Gene Robinson. The Lambda Literary Foundation will award him the Pioneer Award on May 29th in L.A.
Even though he has received death threats, gay Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson will enter into a civil union with his partner of 20 years, Mark Andrew. Robinson is the first openly gay Episcopal bishop. His 2003 election caused much controversy. His civil union will be on the eve of the church's large ecclesiastical conference, from which he is banned because of protests from conservatives. I am simply not going to put my life in jeopardy without putting into place the protections for my beloved partner and my children and my grandchildren that are offered to me in a civil union.
PFLAG recently called for a university to reconsider giving an anti-gay and anti-woman activist an honorary degree. PFLAG is urging Washington University to reconsider giving activist Phyllis Schlafly an honorary doctorate on May 16th. Schlafly founded the conservative group The Equal Forum. She vocally opposes same-sex marriage, GLBT rights, and GLBT-inclusive public school curriculums. The right-wing activist also opposes full equality for women. Ironically, Schlafly's son is openly gay.
Good for him. John Waters, the mastermind behind Hairspray and Pink Flamingos, is working on a new Christmas-themed film. The flick is titled Fruitcake and will feature Johnny Knoxville of Jackass and Parker Posey. The plot supposedly centers around a boy named Fruitcake who runs away from home and meets another runaway, a girl raised by two gay men who is trying to locate her birth mother.
Will there be a lesbian couple on Grey's Anatomy? The ABC hit has been dancing around sparks and awkward insinuations for Callie and Dr. Han for weeks. The season finale is 2 weeks away, and rumor is there is a big kiss, but which two characters will kiss? Though Grey's did give us a touching account of two closeted gay soldiers on last week's episode.
And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Not satisfied with standard souvenir distribution, you created a device with enough kick to dislocate a mascot's shoulder.
Someone get a stretcher.
Courtside, luxury box, upper deck. Your high-powered cotton cannon makes every section the nosebleed section.
Hit the deck!
So simple, anyone can operate it. After a background check, a training course, and a 5-day waiting period.
It only shoots T-shirts.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, marksman of the mezzanine. Because we know you'll give us the shirt off your back at 180 feet per second.
Mr. T-Shirt Launcher Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, it's all about leather.
Leather.
We're sitting on leather.
Well, not that kind of leather.
No, not that kind of leather.
We're not in a sling.
You've picked up the official leather guide.
Well, it's a boy, international male. International, yeah. Mr. Leather.
International Mr.
International
Leather.
Male. That's,
international male.
That's a completely...
Was that like the entire... that was like the porn of our youth,
of the
wasn't
80s.
It? The porn of the 80s was that, International Mr.
That was our Out
male.
Magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, what do you love about leather? Have you ever dated anybody in the leather community?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Many?
Yeah. Well, not many, but one I dated for quite a while, and then another that became quite influential in the leather community. Didn't really date him. Let's just say that we got together a lot.
You hooked up.
Yeah.
You played out some fantasies. You role played.
And played
this
out.
This is where you were the bottom.
Played out outside. Would
ooh.
Be quite, oh, yes. Watch out.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very interesting because in this show, I am taking you to the Leather Archives and Museum. And I am taking you to Leather 101 because I know nothing about leather.
Really?
Except that I've been to IML many a time.
You not go to the Mart?
I go to the Mart. I go to the, like, shopping. Well, it's all about retail for me, honestly. It's less about the dungeons and the... But I think I could kind of be into it.
Oh, I tell you. You walk into that hotel.
I think I could be tied up and it would freak me the fuck out because I'm such a control freak. That it would... Well, because I've been tied up, so I
but
shouldn't
see,
say I haven't been tied up. But I mean, like, racked or in a sling or something.
When you play with someone who is into leather...
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They explain it. You know what's going to happen. You know what, you know, how to get out of certain things if you're uncomfortable. Everything is talked about.
You say,
about
Mary! Mary!
Pineapple!
My word is Mary.
Mary.
My word is pineapple.
You know what I mean? The safe word is... No. No, but it's really all worked out. And so... And they're really the nicest people in the gay community.
They are. Well, because it's IML weekend, which is International Mr. Leather. So tens of thousands of leather people, men and women, gay and straight, come to Chicago from around the world. But also it's Bear Pride weekend, too. So you have all the little cubbies and the bears around.
Which the best day to go to Sidetrack.
Yeah.
I think it's a Sunday. It is a Sunday, I'm sure. Sidetrack on a Sunday during IML. They have a bear pride party right beforehand. Yeah.
Do they really? It's so not a bear environment.
Oh,
the
so
Sidetrack.
You've never in your life sang to show tunes
with
surrounded
bears.
By bears.
They're
hot,
so
hot,
cute, aren't they?
Hot, hot, taking their shirt off, rub it against me, and make me feel like it's Tuesday. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
The bears are so warm and fuzzy, though. They're like really super sweet guys.
Yes, and they'll tear you up.
Will they?
I'm just telling you what.
You've been with a bear
is.
Too.
I've been with everything.
Have you really?
I've just about.
What is wrong with me? I have not slept with enough people in my lifetime.
No, you haven't. Because you get married the second you meet somebody.
I do. It's true. It's like it's our first date, and dun dun dun. I'm like Britney Spears, except I never get the annulment. What's wrong?
I never get the annulment.
It's sad.
No. I've done quite a bit in my time.
Yeah.
No, but I can't wait for IML. It's great.
It's so fun, right? Because the whole town turns into like you're walking. I mean, you're kind of used to walking up and down Boys Town and seeing guys in leather. Not the amount that will be here Memorial Day weekend. But it's weird when you're like downtown at the Hilton and the Hyatt and they're all like everywhere. With Bobby and Sissy from Ohio.
If anybody out there happens to know, and this is no, I don't mean any kind of ill will toward anybody who's in the competition. That I'm just saying that out front. But there was a gentleman who was coming to town who I knew, who was in the competition a couple of years ago. He wanted to meet me, you know, like the Thursday, I think, or the Wednesday before everything was starting. So he was at a hotel and I, you know, went over.
How did you know him? How did you need to meet him
online? I met him online.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's a whole new world, too. I don't know about this whole meeting guys online shit.
Oh, I've met many.
Yeah.
And so.
What's your favorite site to meet somebody on?
I don't know.
See, if Windy City Queercast just had like a hookup
the
site,
Paula
we'd get a lot
Deen
more hits.
Show.
The Paula Deen
probably.
Show.
No, so I'm supposed to meet this dude, right? And so I go to his hotel and he's in the competition, right? So I walk in, he's like, let me show you what I'm going to wear. So he's like, these are the
you're
red
like,
leather pants
yummy.
I'm going to. Well, no, that's it. We started talking about, here's the red leather pants and I'm thinking about wearing the black chaps with the silver blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it's like an hour of talking about, you know, should I wear the taffeta or should I wear the... And I'm like...
I should be with a girl.
Well, I was like, are we at the, you know, the Miss USA pageant or something? And B, when does the fucking start? You know what I mean? But their head is so in that competition. So if you're wanting to hook up with someone in the competition,
their head's not in it. They're in it to win it, and that's about it.
Well, they're having a little Suzanne Sugarbaker moment. Yeah. Once that's done, it'll be fine. But they really have to be in it to win it. I guess that's what it is.
Well, it seriously is, because I know that in talking to Rick Storer at the Leather Archives
Rick
and Museum.
Storer. Love Rick Storer.
Love him, too. He was dressed up in his leather for me. And
he's
it's a very officious place, the Leather Archives and Museum. You might think it's seedy, or maybe you think it's kind of... I don't know what you would think.
I
thought a little more
Monday.
Seedy, and oh, you were, mm-hmm. and it's like the most pristine museum mm-hmm. environment that you could ever be in. And he takes me really through like the history of leather and
the
whole culture, subculture, so to speak. But it's about sex. It is about sex, mm-hmm. and I love that it's mm-hmm. about sex. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. when that competition rolls around, yeah, I asked him, like, you know, do they have evening gown and question and bathing suit category, and he was like, no, they basically have this and this, like, how freaking hot do I look, the jock strap competition, and and, you know, what my platform is. And I was like, what do you mean your platform? Like,
yes.
World peace.
Yes.
But
yes, I'm telling you,
but they believe in world peace and also beating the peace out of you.
I'm gonna tell you this right now, if you go to that hotel
mm-hmm.
to go into the Mart, did
mm-hmm.
this last year, we hit the doors. It was at the Palmer House last year, I think. So we hit the doors.
Yep.
The smell, not the smell of leather, the smell of sex.
Yep.
Will hit you like a freight train.
Right between the eyes.
Oh, my dear sweet Jesus.
Yeah, where is it this year? Hold on.
It's
at the Hyatt.
Pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure, too. It's going to be, and you know, it's like...
And if you haven't gone, you at least have to go to the Mart.
It is the smell of leather and lube, though, that I really get off on. And I don't know why, because I'm a lesbian.
Leather and lube? Leather and lube?
Leather and lube.
Really?
Don't you think? It's like leather and lube and...
I'm telling you,
it's like the old manhole.
The old manhole.
Which is still around, isn't it? Yeah.
Like
and
the
it
old
smells
Deeks.
Like lube and poppers.
Mm-hmm. The old Deeks. You don't remember Deeks?
I don't remember Deeks.
Yeah.
Where was Deeks?
Back in the day. Where Fly Me to the Moon is now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah.
In the heart of Wrigleyville?
That sure was. Uh-huh.
All right.
A lot of fun was had down there, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They're at the Hyatt Regency this year, folks, the Riverside Center. So the Leather Mart is there. You can get
you
pants.
You have to go.
Custom made for your ass.
Oh, I forgot to tell you this. I bought a harness, a really fun harness there about 2-3 years ago.
Can I have a picture of you
in a harness
for our website?
Yeah.
For our show notes?
It shows a lot more than you want. So I'm getting this thing. I really want it, and it's great. So I'm putting it on, and this guy starts doing the adjustments. He's going to adjust it for me. So he's cutting the leather, and he's doing all this stuff, and he's having to get tools from all these other vendors around. So it's
hot.
Taking a good, like, 20, 30 minutes to just get this fit for me.
Hot.
And so he's, like, moving it all around me. And I said, this must be a bitch. And he said, what? And I said, well, you're having to do this much work for everyone who buys one of your harnesses. And he said, no, we don't do adjustments. And I said, well, why are you doing it for me? And right in my ear, he goes, because you want it bad.
Oh!
And I was like,
he knew you.
You're right.
He knew you so well. It's going to be a really big weekend. They're going to have Andy Bell of Erasure in town. Lots of great DJs. They have parties at House of the Blues.
Mm-mm.
It's a big freaking party. So we're going to tell you what's going on in the theater scene, but the theatrics are going to be primarily going on at IML. But
the Jeff Award for Hottest Man in Leather goes
exactly.
to.
Exactly. But it's a week away, so it's just in time for
Holy
you to.
Holy God, that's right.
It's in time for you to go and get your little outfits. Stephen will be checking and make sure his harness fits appropriately. We're going to get that picture. I got to get that picture for our site.
I'll send you to some websites. It'll be fun.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Playing the title role in Iron Man, the latest Marvel comic book blockbuster, Robert Downey Jr. almost single-handedly revives the genre. Who'd have thought 5 years ago that the man who would become this tabloid's poster boy would receive this kind of praise? I didn't. Downey is so assured, sexy, deft, funny, and did I mention sexy? That Iron Man, which is sort of a combination of RoboCop and Transformers, is almost unimaginable without him. Downey plays Tony Stark, a whiz-kid inventor who has grown up creating weapons of mass destruction for Stark Industries, the corporation started by his late father and run by Dad and Tony's best friend, Obadiah, Jeff Bridges, whose head is shaved. But after being captured by terrorists, Tony decides to use his Iron Man suit for good, not evil. Obadiah, the greedy villain and secret arms dealer, will have none of this. With his ever-present cocktail and bevy of playmates near at hand, Tony is like the personification of the Maxim magazine man, with the bonus of having a super efficient assistant played by sweet Gwyneth Paltrow. This is a superhero by way of Swingers, baby, and it's perfect that Jon Favreau, who broke through with that movie, directed and has a cameo as the chauffeur. Iron Man is a terrific blockbuster, one with a conscience whose Vegas-style playboy with a heart is played by the 43-year-old Downey. Both character and actor, based on the evidence here, are just entering their prime. Ring-a-ding-ding, baby. I'm Richard Knight, Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 12, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
American Theater Company presents Speech and Debate, the story of three high school misfits who team up to expose their teachers' online secrets by forming their school's first speech and debate club. This timely comedy is Ugly Betty Meets Election, exploring queer life in high school and hypocrisy in public life. The Tribune says it is exceptionally stimulating and word perfect about teens. Playing now through May 18th. For tickets to Speech and Debate, visit atcweb.org.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents Around the World in 80 Days. This world premiere adventure follows Phileas Fogg as he races around the globe to save his fortune. Looking Glass Theater is in the historic Water Tower Waterworks on Michigan Avenue. For tickets to Around the World in 80 Days, visit lookingglasstheater.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
This is Jinx from Gospel Titanic, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
My idea of a perfect woman is, A, she's got to be hot.
Film is sort of a look at how we place such a high emphasis on beauty.
Roger Ebert gives America the Beautiful 3 stars, and the Windy City Times calls it insightful and entertaining.
We're not going to put someone ugly on our cover. It's not going to sell.
I want my vagina to look like this.
Wow, I didn't even know you could do that.
A lot of it's airbrushed, so women are coming in and asking for surgery that the actual models don't have.
Does the media ever feel kind of like socially responsible with this stuff?
You've got to be kidding. You're actually asking me that question.
My daughter's wanted to be a model since she was little.
I go, Maggie, if you can't get rid of the little poogie on the side, what would you think of liposuction? And she goes, plastic surgery is a woman's best friend.
At the end of the day, we're selling dreams, man.
I'm missing a six-pack.
And what's the importance of a six-pack?
I don't know.
Stop fixing your body. It was never broken.
America the Beautiful, now playing at the Landmark Century Theater, 2828 North Clark.
Fuck your pain away. It's what you had to do.
Or the International Mr. Leather Competition is the high point of spring here in Chicago, or maybe the beginning of summer. Nothing says let's pull on some leather chaps over Memorial Day more than tulips and sunny skies. But seriously, the leather community around the world convenes here in the Windy City, and I know so little about this culture and this community that's right in my own backyard, especially the Leather Archives and Museum, which is really in my backyard at 6418 North Greenview Avenue. So that's why I'm here. I'm here at the Leather Archives and Museum in Chicago with Rick Storer, who is the executive director, and he is taking me on Leather Lesson 101. Hi, I wore Amy. Suede. I just didn't wear any leather.
Close enough.
It's a part of a cow, right? So let's talk about what is the earliest origin of the leather community. I mean, what is the earliest dates that there seem to be people who came together around leather?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. And one way is to look at leather as being kinky activity, in which we can trace that way back to the beginning of when things were recorded on paper or on other materials, is people been kinky for a long time. But it was really like World War II, shortly after World War II, where you started seeing organizations and things happening above ground and people being a little bit more out and organized about their kinky sex.
So let's talk about, what is the difference in kinky sex and what is a fetish? Or is a kinky sex a part of a fetish? Or how do we define that?
I would say that kinky sex is a part of a fetish. I think fetish is probably the broadest term you can use. And so fetish doesn't necessarily mean sexual activity. For example, you might have a fetish for just wearing that suede skirt that you're wearing. And so it's not an actual sexual activity. And so you would just have a fetish for wearing that, and it makes you feel good, and it makes you feel excited.
All right. So is it just, it's not just the gay community, right? I mean, women, it's not just gay men. I mean,
everybody.
There's women, there are straight people who all participate in this, in leather activities, right?
Absolutely.
And do they all play well together?
Generally they do. I think we found that regardless of what gender you like to play with or how old you are or what color your skin is, we can all learn things from each other. And just because everybody may not want to engage in these activities with everybody else, we can all certainly sit down and talk about it and learn from each other. So you do find a very sort of one community.
So what other communities are kind of connected to the leather community but may be kind of like cousins or sisters of the leather community, but would also be considered? I mean, is rubber and latex a part of the leather community, or
it is
they fringe, or what is that?
No, I wouldn't call it fringe. When we say Leather Archives and Museum, we use the word leather as encompassing all fetishes. It's the International Mr. Leather is the same thing. It's not saying you've got to have leather on to come in. If you enjoy wearing rubber, or if you have a fetish for tennis shoes, or whatever your fetish is, leather is just sort of this generic term that is used to apply to all of these different communities or sexual interests.
So it's kind of like the word queer for GLBTQA. Continue on with the letters.
Exactly.
I mean, it's kind of encompassing.
Umbrella term.
So let's take it, before we talk about the museum, because we're sitting here in the exhibition hall, and I think it's really amazing. It's quite a large facility, and we'll talk all about that. But just, I want to take it a bit personally, because podcasting allows us to be personal. You know, when did you come into an understanding that leather and the leather community was part of your identity and something that you connected with?
Well,
there's probably people listening who are like, I've never thought about it, or how does that happen, or I live in Iowa, I see saddles in the back of, horses that are made of leather and car seats, but not people walking around in enough leather that it matters besides their footwear.
Sure. For me, the internet was definitely a big exploration tool. And as I started to discover resources on the internet, it really sort of helped me focus on the things that I was interested in and understand that even though I didn't know anybody else or I didn't see other people walking around in chaps in the street, that there were, in fact, other people who had similar interests. And so for me personally, the internet was a great tool in helping me figure out that I was not alone.
And is it always connected to one's sexuality or what sexually is stimulating to somebody?
I personally sort of look at leather as it's about the sex, it really is, or feeling sexual or exploring fantasies. If you look at like motorcycle clubs like the Hells Angels, that's about motorcycle riding, and that's that's like a leather club. But when I think about leather in terms of Leather Archives and Museum or International Mr. Leather, sex is at the base of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit that there is all of these accoutrements, if you will. There are all these different pieces that kind of make up the leather community. Many of them are on display here in the Leather Museum. Everything from what are club pins, and is there something called color? What am I thinking of?
Yeah, colors.
Colors.
They're basically insignias that identify you much more so in the gay men's community, that identify you as being part of a club or an organization. And you traditionally, they're worn on the back of the leather vests. And then if you're traveling to another city, people can identify that you're a member of this club.
And is this like a fraternity, like leather fraternity, so to speak?
It is. There's a real strong sense of brotherhood, sense of support, and sense of fundraising. And there's a very, very strong bond between members of clubs and organizations.
Now, are you within a club? Do you have mentors in clubs, or do you have... people that are leading each club, or is club just who you're affiliated with? In the same way, your favorite bar is this bar, or your community is this community because I live in this neighborhood. Or how do you kind of find your flavor in your club?
Well, the answer, I think, to your question is yes. One of the great things about the leather and fetish community is that it's very open, and you can, if you want your club to be a sex club and all the people doing that club is get together, have BDSM parties, and there are clubs like that, then that's what it is. If it's more going to be a fundraising organization, there are clubs that are mostly about education, and their focus is putting on classes to teach people new skills. So clubs are established for many different reasons. And traditionally, people will hang out at the bars or go to events like International Mr. Leather or go on to websites sort of personal ad websites or mm-hmm. where you can message between people. And they'll talk to people who are members of clubs and find out sort of what each different club is about. And then you go to one that sounds interesting to you.
Now, you mentioned BDSM. Is that synonymous with leather, or are those two separate things? And for people who don't know, it's
sure.
bondage, dominance, sadomasochism. Is that right?
It stands for a few different
things.
It stands for a few incarnations
of that.
Yeah, so I think there's bondage.
We kind of know S&M is probably the most layman term that most people know.
Exactly. So sadomasochism, there's some people call that slave and master, there's bondage and discipline, there's dominance and submission. So there's a bunch of different words that are sort of in that BDSM.
Sure.
But people generally see BDSM as sexual physical activities like bondage or flogging or whipping, where you're actually participating in a physical activity, whereas leather or fetish, if you look at it as an umbrella term, could incorporate someone who just wears leather while they're fucking and sucking because it feels good to do that. And so they're not engaging in pain or bondage or slaves and masters. They just like fucking in their leather. And so, those people would fall under fetishists as well.
Cool. So now, I love that you said the F word, in leather, and I'm sitting across from you, in leather chairs. It's so stimulating, folks. It's so IML.
Yeah.
It's happening. It's coming soon. All right. So what I'm hearing you say is that you can be into S&M, potentially not be into leather. You could be into leather and be into S&M. I mean, this is like it's an aspect of the expression, if you will. The way you like to get off, maybe just with leather, it may be leather and BDSM, and it may be just
Amy, there
BDSM.
Are no rules.
Let
me take that back. We're
there
safe.
Are rules. Yes.
You have to know what you're doing. You have to be safe. And it absolutely has to be consensual. And let me put that out there right now, that everybody who's involved has to be consenting at all times to what's going on. So that's very important. But if it's consensual and it's safe and you know what you're doing, then there are no rules. You don't have to wear leather to flog somebody. You don't have to wear big engineer boots to tie somebody up. I think the community really... The purpose of the community is to explore your sexuality as an individual,
but
and not follow rules.
But many clubs do have dress codes.
Correct.
Right? I mean, many clubs do have dress codes. Like, I can't walk in a Laura Ashley dress and go to the dungeon at, you know, I don't know, name any of the clubs in town. You know, I probably couldn't. Although that might be a really cool fetish for some lady in there. But
actually, you know, it's really just the bars, and it's a few of the bars in Chicago that have dress codes in a small part of the bar. But I've been to almost all of the dungeon spaces or the play spaces in Chicago, and none of them have dress codes.
Right.
So you can, you know, if you're encouraged
to
come.
So how does a new person, gosh, I'm really, see, because you're having to take me there. So how does the new person who walks into, like, a dungeon-type experience and has never done this before, I mean, never, you know, you can't, it's kind of like going to a bar and drag, right? I mean, you kind of have to walk out of your house in some leather, and you kind of have to walk into this place in some leather. So there's that obstacle has already been met. But when you get down there, is there a code? Is there a language? Will somebody know that you're just fucking clueless and, like, talk to you and see what you're, you know, I guess, are you all a welcoming bunch to the newcomer, the newcomers to your little playground? Or what does that look like?
Well, there are lots of ways.
Because I'm sure some people listening might be, you know, like, sure. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Sure. And I think my advice to someone like that is to find somebody who has been around and knows what they're doing. If you walk into a space by yourself and you're brand new and you don't know what you're doing, and I was there, you know, I walked into
sure,
a bar the
first
time.
Sure, everybody's got to have their first time.
Sure. And, you know, start talking to people or go on to websites like Recon, or there's several websites that are sort of cater to.
Is that with a K or with a C? Because I'll link it on our site.
Oh, it's R-E-C-O-N, and
okay.
That's primarily a gay men's site.
Okay.
There's alt.com is primarily, you know, for heterosexual, for women's, bi, trans, queer. A lot of people use alt.com. And start talking to people, get to know people electronically, maybe find a bar or there's a lot of munches in Chicago where you're not walking into a dungeon scene. You're walking into a restaurant where people are sitting in plain clothes. And it's on a specific day at a specific time. And you go there and you just start talking to people in a very relaxed environment. And you get to know people. And then that way you can go into some of the more, you know, the dungeon settings or the back rooms or the play parties where you've really got to know what's going on. You're coming in with somebody who's been there before and can help get you acclimated into that.
Well, and obviously there's a ton of films, I am sure. I would not know one to name. I'm sure you would know so many, you wouldn't know where to begin. Of films that, you know, cater to the leather community and show those relationships. But do you ever feel like the mainstream has ever had an accurate portrayal of what this community looks like? I mean, there was the big hoopla with the film Cruising. There's, you know, it seems like they don't get our images exactly right in many aspects of the GLBT community.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything or representation that would be more, that has been out there for the mainstream to consume that has been accurate about the leather community?
To some extent. It's not a show that I watch, but a lot of people in the scene talk about CSI, and they do a lot of, like, fetish stuff on there or dominatrixes. And to a large extent, they do get it right. And it's sort of an accurate portrayal. Unfortunately, it's usually when things go wrong.
Right.
And so maybe it's not the best
portrayal. We have to, crimes are being perpetrated by us or on us.
It may not be the best, but to some extent it's accurate.
Well, let's talk about the museum. We're sitting here in the exhibition hall. As I've already said, it's really impressive in a neighborhood setting. Couldn't be more bright and inviting to kind of walk through the door. Beautiful lobby with the gold plaques and people who've donated. You all seem very upstanding. I'm sure you are out there for street cleaning day with all the rest of your neighbors. But what's actually inside here? Tell me about the logistics. How big is this place?
It's 10,000 square feet, two stories, 8 exhibit areas. People have been kinky for a long time, and there's a lot of
stuff. There's a lot of shit to collect.
That's a lot of kinky stuff,
so what are the collections?
The collections are primarily around the organizations and the culture. So the art and the photography of fetishists and kinky people, the history of the clubs, We have a leather history timeline that sort of walks leather and fetish and kink back to the beginning of time before there were organizations. We have some leather clothing, some old equipment that's not used anymore.
Yeah, I love the rack. What was that thing that was the rack? That's wrong. What's the thing with the gallows or your
the stocks?
The stocks
from the Gold Coast here in Chicago. Yeah.
How cool is that?
It's very cool. It's very
cool. The wood seems so old and like, wow, if it could speak.
Oh, thank goodness it can't. It would never shut up.
So you mentioned the art, and there is a ton of art on the walls, and obviously you bring in collections as well. But there, when I asked that question about has the mainstream ever gotten it right in film or television, one of the places I think we can say that there's been many representations is in art and in the visual art. Can you talk about some of these amazing visual artists that are a part of this leather community and that really have given a look and a feel maybe in their defining art? I mean, I know Tom of Finland.
Sure, Tom of Finland, and you know, there's a couple that are even more mainstream, like if we think about Robert Mapplethorpe and a lot of his work, Kenneth Anger in his films. I mean, you know, absolutely putting it out there into the very mainstream. Tom of Finland, Etienne, a lot of fetish artists. And so here
at
the museum.
Who is Etienne? Because he's really connected, I'm familiar with.
Yeah, he was, Dom Orhudos was his name, and he was Chuck Renslow's partner. And we have a lot of his works that are saved here in the Leather Archives and Museum.
Yeah, and he did a lot of the gorgeous, didn't he do the theater?
The murals, here in our auditorium we have murals and big, large murals that were in the Gold Coast that he did.
Really amazing.
But we also collect lesser-known artists here as well. There aren't a whole lot of publishing art outlets for sexual erotic art, and so we collect both well-known and not-so-well-known artists here.
Yeah, and there's such a theme of, like, strength and sleekness as I look around, you know, that of just the physical form, you know, of the visual looks have kind of, what's interesting about them is they have a core that's very still, but something that's very active in the way the drawing is.
It's very fantasy, you know. I mean, you know, I talked about the importance of safe and sane and consensual and the many practical limitations on things that you might fantasize about, but there's no way you could do them in a safe or consensual way. And so what I love about art is that it can actualize or put an image behind fantasies. And you know, Amazon women that are 1,000 times taller and larger than the small men that she's controlling. And, you know, so you can take these fantasies that could never happen and put an image to them. I love it.
Yeah. So, and you, now is every aspect of the museum pretty much used all for the general public besides the stuff that you keep in the archives? I mean, you have a theater and all, I mean, you have so many different facilities here. So how are they all used?
Well, we have our museum exhibitions that are open to the public over 18 years of age. And so our ATN auditorium is kind of a separate space in that we show films and we hold lectures in there, but we also donate that space out to community groups who might need a space to meet, but that couldn't afford space at a conference center or at a hotel or something like that. So it provides them for a space to meet or hold their own events.
And so what do you think, well, I have to ask you this, because this I really want to know. What is the significance of the leather pride flag? The stripes people may have seen are the black, do you know this answer? I don't know if I'm asking you a trick question, but you know, has the heart and the red heart, and it's like kind of, I call it cop colors. It's like blue and black with the white stripes. Is there a significance to it?
There is not a significance to it. It was presented intentionally without significance or meaning so that individuals could develop their own meaning. I mean, if you think about black and blue, you know, if you think about sort of red, you know, they're colors that go along with sort of alternative sexuality or maybe rough or hard sex. And so those are colors. I think the colors fit well, but the person who designed it intentionally did not put a meaning behind it.
Yeah, because I think, you know, even if you had to be button up and you saw that flag, people would know immediately what you were into.
Sure. If you see me driving around with it on the back of my car, you know, wave me over, pull me over, and let's have some fun.
You're not in leather some days of the week?
Amazingly, I'm not.
No? You go to the beach not in leather. I bet that.
I don't go to the beach in leather. All right. That would be a little uncomfortable.
That might be uncomfortable. What do you think is, what is the biggest misconception about the leather community? Do you think there is one? Do you think?
I do. I think there's a couple misconceptions. Certainly, if you look at the larger, large society as a whole, I think there's not a very, they don't recognize a line between abuse and S&M. And people who practice S&M, that's a very definite line between abuse and S&M. In that if it's S&M, it's consensual. And that everybody who is there and participating wants to be doing it. And if at some point during it they want to stop doing it, then it stops. Whereas abuse is the opposite of that. People don't consent to it. It continues whether they want it to continue or not. And I think that there's a misperception in society as a whole that S&M and abuse are sort of the same, or that people who practice S&M do it without consent. And then, you know, within the GLBT community, I think there's a perception that, you know, that the leather people or the fetish people are scary and that they're unapproachable. And I assure you that if you walk into any of the bars here in Chicago on a Friday or Saturday night, you're going to hear conversations about knitting and the opera that's playing at the Civic Center and et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah.
I would say that's a misconception
as well. So just regular old folk.
Absolutely.
Regular old folk, as we call it.
Who like to have a good time.
Who like to have some good kinky sex on occasion.
Absolutely.
In some leather. So IML is celebrating 30 years this Memorial Day.
Yay.
Wow. How did IML start?
IML started as a way for the Gold Coast to make some money.
There you go, because the Gold Coast usually knows how to make money.
They did know how to make money. And it was just a way to bring people into the bar, to have some fun, to look at some skin on the stage, mm-hmm. and have a good time. And that's basically how it got started.
And calling it International Mr. Leather, how long did it take? Because this was not an internet age. Like, how long did it take for people from Germany and, you know, and all over Europe and other countries to kind of travel and trek to Chicago in May?
Well, it took a while for a real broad number of people to come. But the second winner of IML was from Australia. And so the second year it happened, the winner was from overseas. When they were promoting the event in the early years, they created special posters in other languages to send to Germany to encourage the people to come and to make sure that it was an international competition.
So where are the other big concentrations of leather communities? I mean, are they just all over? I mean, is there kind of like a capital? I mean, Germany, I would think, is a big center. I mean, is it?
Yeah. You
I've
know,
met
all
definitely
those
a lot
European
of
countries.
Yeah.
It's really hard to pinpoint centers.
Yeah.
It really is.
So when you have this International Mr. Leather competition, obviously it's for men, who wins? I mean, is this like a look? Is this how you wear your leather? Is this, I mean, what are the categories? I mean, what is my, you know, answering my question, swimsuit, evening gown, what are my categories of how I even apply? Well, I don't, but, you know, if my name is Mark, how would I apply, and what is the competition? Like, what are the categories they're being judged on?
The first step is to win a local contest or a regional contest that feeds up into it. That's the first thing you have to do. And so once you've done that, you come to Chicago.
And you represent that community or that state, or how far does it break down?
Sometimes it's regions, states, bars, cities. There's no criteria.
Okay.
So you're representing the sponsor that's sending you there.
Okay.
You come to Chicago. Let me just backtrack a little bit. A lot of local contests are doing now is you will win a contest in your local city. You will then serve your community for a year as the title holder. So you'll hold fundraisers or whatever, and then after a year you'll go to Chicago to compete at International Mr. Leather. You go to, here in Chicago they have an interview where they sit down and the judges talk to them for 15 or 20 minutes, and then they have the PECS and Personality, which is the PC title for it. It's the jockstrap competition is what it is.
All right.
So they come out and they strut their meat and they answer a question.
So to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it matter if your meat is packaged in just pure leather or leather with like little silver squared medallions on it, or is that all a part of it?
Oh, people have done all sorts of crazy things.
All right.
So,
the P&P competition, I like
PECS
that.
PECS and Personality, yeah. And so they do that, and that all leads up to the main contest, which is held on Sunday night. And then on Sunday night, they will announce, based on those two categories, the people who scored the top 20.
Okay.
And once they do that, all the scores are reset. And then the top 20 people make a short speech on stage, kind of describing what their platform is or what they stand for. And they'll do another jockstrap competition. Are you noticing a theme here?
Yeah.
Jockstraps and skin.
You want a little personality. You can communicate well. When you say your platform, what does that mean, though? I mean, are people giving seriously to philanthropic, like, my thing is hunger, my thing is the AIDS community, my thing is being an ambassador for the, you know, breaking down barriers in leather community, or
they just... A lot of them do. I mean, when the IML first started, it was about getting up on stage and showing your skin, and, yeah, you're the prettiest one, so you win. But when the AIDS epidemic hit... And when we're facing discrimination, it really the winners really started using it as a platform to get some stuff done.
Wow. And it's not just the competition. There are a weekend of parties and events, plus the Leather Museum and Archives will be open the entire time, I'm sure you have a ton of traffic of people coming. How many people do they expect to come to IML every year?
They get about... On average, about 12,000. But this being a 30th anniversary, they expect a lot more than that.
Yeah. It's just tens of thousands of people. It's absolutely massive. Well, IML is celebrating 30 years over Memorial Day weekend. That's May 22nd through the 26th at the Hyatt Regency downtown Chicago with many parties and more. And that's what I love. I love that it's just right downtown, because the first year I ever went to IML downtown, I had just moved to town. And I remember walking through the hotel, and here's Bill and Judy from Wisconsin who've come with the kids, and they're walking through the big hotel in downtown Chicago, and walking right past are two guys holding hands with assless chaps. It's just, to me, it's America. It's a beautiful thing. And that's great too, because there's lots of vendors down there, lots of sales going on. You can get through some leather pants that were built just for you. And there'll also be parties with, including DJ Tony Moran spinning at the enormous House of Blues party, which is awesome every year. It's called the Black and Blue
Ball? No, there is a Black and Blue Ball. That's just, I can't remember the name of it. It's just big party.
It's just a big party at the House of Blues. And also, Andy Bell of Erasure is going to be performing this year at the IML contest. If you want ticket, hotel, and event information, you can visit imrl.com. We'll have that linked on our website. And the Leather Archives and Museum is a great place to visit. Come by and see this entire community housed under 10,000 square feet. It's located at 6418 North Greenview Avenue in Chicago. If you'd like more information, you can call the museum at 773-761-9200, or you can visit online. Thank God we're in online age now. Go to leatherarchives.org, and Rick Storr may be here when you come through the door. So
we'd love to have you.
Thank you so much,
thank
Rick.
Thank you, Amy.
I feel a little like I'm not a 101 anymore.
Awesome.
I may move on to class 102 in leather.
201.
201.
Go for it.
What a leap. You have such confidence. This has been great. I hope you all have a wonderful, safe, fun, kinky, sexy IML.
Hi there. I'm Proud FM's Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. Toronto's patio season is upon us, and that means Pride Week isn't that far away. Come join me and a million other people for Unified the week of June 20th to 29th. It promises to be one of the best prides ever, with headliner Sandra Bernhard and Spice Girl Melanie C already confirmed to perform. Look for me in Chicago on Friday, June 13th at Gay Idol at Circuit Nightclub. Visit www.torontotourism.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
So I feel sexy in my leather now. I feel like I could actually be into leather sports.
Really? Ooh.
I don't know what that means. I still don't really know what that means. But I know that I just need to come in and go, walk me through this. I am naive and a bottom.
Oh, they'll love that.
Spank me, mama. Spank me, mama.
I tell you.
It goes back to our bottom-top conversation.
Yes, it does. It does.
I don't know if I'm a bottom or a top.
Well, go to the Mart.
No, I'll know.
Literally. You go in, they have to put the thing on your hand. They have a little wristband, right?
Uh-huh.
And the guys there last year were very funny. He would look at you and go, the left, right? Your ears are on the right. Because, you know, if you're on the right, you're a bottom, or you're sub, or what have you. And the left is sort of the top, or the, mm-hmm. the you know, the dominant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he sort of looked at me, and he was like, you're on the left. I'm like, no, not so much. He's like, really?
Really?
That's great.
Stars in his eyes. I'm Don't get the right stars now. Get in your eyes. The moonshine above.
Go and say, okay, which am I? And he'll tell you.
Yeah, well, you know, people are always surprised, because I've always been with all these older women. And they always think that, like, I'm the big
you're the
passive
top? Really?
Bottom. But I believe possibly I'm a bit of a control freak power player.
Well, no, you can be a control freak
and
bottom.
And be a bottom. Yeah. I may be a control freak bottom.
Yeah, you probably are. Because you're probably, like, loud. Do it here. No, to the left. My left. You know, like, that kind of thing.
Not that. Left is left.
On. Harder, harder, harder. You take a plow.
Does that mean that I'm a bottom if I do that?
If you're demanding a little bit, that's great. That's a lot of fun.
I just call it being helpful.
Being helpful, yeah,
just
that's great.
Just lending a helpful hand.
Being helpful as I shove you out the door.
Lifting a helpful to your hands. That's what I like to call that.
It's called topping from the bottom.
Ooh, that's what I am.
Yes, topping
from
exactly
the bottom. That's exactly what I am.
God, I sound like I know what I'm talking about.
You too.
Because I kind of do.
All right, so we're heading to the leather market, I think, definitely.
You, honey.
We're going to walk in the door and then we're going to split up because... We will hurt each other's chances.
Oh, no, not at all. If I split up, you're going to be in some cage somewhere. You're going to love it.
It's going to be exciting. It's supposed to be dripping latex on me.
In the Catwoman outfit.
Yeah, make me a Catwoman outfit.
Oh, honey.
Wow. I want to be Catwoman. Do you remember Michelle Pfeiffer in Catwoman?
Okay, Julie Newmar, Catwoman. That's
yeah,
what I'm
but Michelle
about.
Pfeiffer and Catwoman really made me kind of drippy.
Meow.
Meow. Meow.
I'll do that for you. See, you're into this.
Have some fun leather sports, folks. I'm not a virgin in the leather department anymore. I actually do have a corset. We should put a picture of that up, but I'm not going to because it's a tits out corset.
Why not?
I bought it at the Leather Mart like my second year I was here.
Get a bar and put a bar over the thing. That's just, you know.
Yeah.
You can't see Amy's tits unless you're this high. Or something like that.
You cannot ride this ride under
and
5 feet.
By high, I meant, you know, tall, but whatever works
but
for you.
But high, I meant how many bowls have you smoked? That's good. I like it. Happy Pride and Leather Pride and Bear Pride.
Ooh,
and it is the onset of Pride, IML.
Yes.
Goes into all things gay after this all the time. Stephen, thanks for being on with me this week.
Thank you. I loved it.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at AA.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.